Hello, Rita. It's Cindy. I made it. Video stop. Why is my video stopped?
Hello. There are two people here. Hello. Greetings. Hello.
It says Rita's on here. This is Cindy.
Cindy, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Maybe Rita's not on here.
I've got
Yeah.
so much crap on my counters. I'm bringing to the picnic. I can't even put anything on my counter space anymore. I've got Coke, cooler, George, no, action items, potato chips. Oh, every type of chip you can think of. I
Well, that's exciting.
have the letter that I wrote for the raffle tickets. An attachment. I'll bring Ziploc bags to put raffle tickets in, you know, for people. How many
Okay.
did we make? How many tickets do we have?
150 right now.
Oh, but you'll have more.
Yeah. But it's
I
kind
think
of,
it's.
I can only put like six or seven of them in the printer
Sure, I
at a
know.
time. So you kind of
Well,
got to feed them in.
can I get you another gift card?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Understand. I'm hoping we can have like 300 or 400 tickets because dispersing this, we don't want to have to keep sending them out. In other words, hopefully, like if Don Kurz has them, he lives in the center of Indianapolis. Now I have people some addresses so I can mail it to people. Easy on him. We're going to go stand out in front of stores to sell them that way. Be fun.
Start video.
20 tickets per store. You appreciate it. So it's taken you hours to do this, then.
Well, I'm watching TV while I'm doing
Okay.
it.
You want me to get you a six pack of beer?
No,
A
it's not.
bag of Reese's cups. So you stuff
Well,
your face while you're doing it? What?
that's more up my line.
Okay. You want a 5-pound bag? Amazon sells them.
God, no.
I'm not kidding, they do. I got it as a door prize or an auction item for
Did you
Gabby a couple of years ago. And I was just, oh, 5 pounds. I'll just buy that. Then I looked at the price. I already bought the damn thing.
Candy's
Well,
really gone up.
oh, you want a small pack of chips cost at Walmart? $3.80.
Of
You know those
what?
little three a not a family bag, but the bag halfway of the family bag, standard bag, $3.80. Those Cokes that I'm bringing, 6 packs of the 6 ounces, $4. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Walmart is not cheap.
Hey
No.
guys,
Hey, how are
it's
you?
Donetta.
Donetta, welcome.
Yes.
Donetta.
Okay, bear with me because I'm on my computer. Oh. Life is crazy today. Stop. We turned narrator on so I could use my husband's computer.
Good for you.
And now,
Use narrator.
I need to figure out how to turn it off. I only ever use
That's
JAWS.
control, Microsoft key, and enter.
Hang on, my it's talking. I can't hear nothing. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Control, Microsoft key, and enter will turn narrator off.
Work?
Actually, you do a control left Windows enter.
That's what I just said.
And that will take care of that for me.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's what that's what she said too. At work, I just alt tab until it comes to JAWS and I close it.
I love Narrator and Magnifier. I think it's really cool.
Okay. Okay. Who all do we have on with us so far?
Well, you got Rich here, and good evening, Cindy.
And Pat and Rita.
Pat and Rita. And I'm
Hi, Rich.
Donetta.
Are
Good
you
evening,
coming to the
Cindy.
picnic? Rich? Mr. Rich,
Yes.
are you coming to the picnic?
Well,
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I said, as far as I know.
You need a ride to Columbus in November?
No, I'm Columbus. I'm not going. I'm going to do it virtually.
Okay. Because I can take people over. I have something to do the night of the. I'll be there for 30 hours, but I have to return on Saturday night.
Good evening, Cindy. Good evening, Donetta.
Hello. Is Rita with us too? I thought I no. Oh, she was. Who is in charge of this information station?
I don't know.
You
Oh,
don't
no officers
I don't
here.
know.
Honest answer.
I was an
Well,
officer. I could just
I
wing it.
mean, Rita invited me to speak. She didn't
Oh, you're
say
Bosma. Hi. She put your flyer on our listserv.
yes. She
That's
asked me
great.
for that earlier. I think earlier today.
Yeah, I'm here. Don't talk
Hi,
about me. I'm
Rita.
here.
Well, were your ears burning, Rita?
What now?
Were your ears burning?
We were talking about you.
Well, when I guess so.
What I want to know,
Yeah.
Rita, is do you have your hula skirt and your coconut bra ready for next Friday?
I ordered myself a Hawaiian shirt just for your party.
Did
Would you please
you?
explain that? Yeah.
So the program that I'm getting ready to talk about, Connections, once a year, we have an in-person get together. And
Oh.
obviously not everybody can make it. As everybody on this call knows, transportation for those of us who are blind or visually impaired is atrocious. But once a year, everybody has hopefully an opportunity to come to Indianapolis and have lunch and hang out with those that they spend several hours a week with on the connection calls.
Oh,
Well,
really?
our get together this year is next Friday, and last year the theme that was chosen was Hulu, a luau is what it's called, a luau. So, I'm gonna try to decorate, kind of island style, and we're having like Kahlua pork and huli huli chicken, Hawaiian macaroni salad, and some other stuff like fruit salad and stuff. Usually we play games and things like that, sit and chit chat. But this year, we actually are supposed to have some of the higher up people within the company come in. It might only be two, three people, I don't know yet, who are going to come in and talk to clients and all of that about what connections means to the clients and the importance of the program and things like that. So
Rita's going to wear a grass skirt.
Yeah, I was joking with her because sometimes
Dolly says she has the coconut bra and she has a grass skirt, and I told her bring it. I told her bring it, and Donetta, you will have to wear them.
Every
That's
year.
That's right. You had the group. You have to wear the stuff.
We usually will vote for our theme for the next year. I think next year is just going to be like a summer picnic type theme because I'm collecting decorations that I'm not reusing. But last year was Christmas and we had a Christmas meal.
Had
an ugly sweater contest. And I did not have an ugly sweater. So what I did the night before was I crocheted a flat Christmas tree and glued it, hot glued it to a t-shirt and made decorations with puff paint on it and stuff and buttons. Rita, you won that contest, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the prize. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which one of our other clients, she never gets to make it because she's up in the far northwest corner, I believe, of Indiana. She sent down a fleece blanket that she crocheted a border around, and that's what Rita got for her prize. So
I noticed you ducked the question about the wearing the grass skirt.
Huh?
Well, Rita said you were going to have to wear the grass skirt, and you have not responded to that.
Oh, we'll have to see.
Ignoring you, that's why.
I can't imagine why.
I mean, you know, a lot of people when they find out that we're visually impaired, they tend to speak louder. So I'm just sticking true to form here, and you know, I can't see, so maybe I can't hear. So
I understand. I'm just up to no good.
If Dolly's bringing a skirt, it might fit around like my thigh or something. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. I was just going to wear a dress next week, but we'll see.
I will look for it. It's somewhere in the furnace room in a tote. So I'm going to look for
it. Dolly Rita said that if you bring it, I have to wear it. So maybe we can make Mike wear it. You think Mike would wear it?
There you go.
Hannah said, don't let... Kelly.
Kelly put it on.
Kelly. Kelly have the Moroccan bra or whatever.
Donetta?
Yeah.
It's 7:07 and we've always started at this point. So
Donetta.
Oh, okay.
Tina.
Sorry. Okay, so Miss Rita, you're in charge, I guess. So
well, I can be. Okay.
Okay.
We got six people or something.
Why don't we give our names?
Nine
people. I'm here. Okay.
Well, actually, this says 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Who's on the call? Give your name so at least know who we are.
Oh, God.
Donetta.
Well, Cindy, Pat, Dolly, Rita, Donetta. Who else?
This is Deanne.
Deanne's here. Okay, good.
Regina.
I thought I heard a man earlier.
She's an officer. She can take over.
Rich was here earlier.
Oh, Rich.
I'm here.
Okay.
Now, when I had my narrator on earlier, it said Braille Chicken Whisperer.
That's me, Tanya.
Okay. Yeah.
I snuck in because my thing said 50 and older, and I'm just a hair short of 50 years old. So I hope it's okay if I came.
Yeah, it is. Actually, and that was one small correction that I have. Our program is actually 55 and older. I fight every year to see if there's a way we can drop that down to 50. Because I feel like that is, you know, and I've even tried for 45 a couple of times because I feel like that's a range that we're really missing out on. So what I do is I work at Bosma. I've probably met most, if not all of you before in person. I have did the Stitching Sister table at the Indiana conference a few times. But I work full time at Bosma. 32 hours of my week is spent as a rehabilitation associate in the Vision Rehab Center, where people come 5 days a week. They're there for about 4 months and they learn the whole gambit of how to be independent in life, from using their canes to Braille to all of that kind of stuff. The other 8 hours of my week is spent running the Connections program. And I'm sure some of you might be thinking, oh boy, only 8 hours. I know, I know, not enough hours in the week. The only reason my hours, the only reason I can get done what I do get done is because I have volunteers that help me. Our program is a free program to anybody who's blind or visually impaired who live in the state of Indiana who are 55 and older. We have activities Monday through Friday. It's completely a free service to you. I like to say, as long as you have a phone to talk on and an hour of time to sit and chat, then you are golden. You can sit propped up in your recliner with your little fuzzy house slippers on and just be good. Our program is ran by off of grant money, mostly donations or the OIB grant, which is the Older Individuals Who Are Blind grant. And that is actually in our, I don't know if it's like our grant contract or whatever that would be called. It's actually stipulated in there that the money from that grant can only be used on patrons who are 55 and older. We were modeled off of a program out of California called Senior Centers Without Walls. It has since in the last, I want to say maybe 2 years, been rebranded as Well Connected. They are leaps and bounds bigger than what our group is. I have 11 to 12 calls every week, depending on the week, because every other week they have book club. And we are only open Monday through Friday. We're closed on major holidays and stuff like that. There, I believe, as far as I know, they have calls 365 days a week, or 365 days a year, I mean, sorry. And they have hundreds of volunteers, and they have calls from the morning up until the evening. You, I believe, have to be 60 to join their program. But that's what we were modeled off of. All of our activities are hands-off for you. We do trivia, crosswords. Like I said a while ago, we have book club every other week. They really, Rita and Dolly and Regina, and then they like their murder mysteries. We do Jeopardy. One of my things that I really enjoy is what we call Curiosity Corner. We do that for the first 15 minutes of our 1 o'clock activity on Fridays. And I try to have an article or something interesting to share, or I share information about things that we've been curious about during the week. So like if we were doing crosswords or trivia and Rita says, oh, I would like to know more about that answer, can you look up why that has that name or whatever it may be? I could put that on my list and see if I can find an answer. And then come Friday, I would share that information. Sometimes, if it's something that would be a very simple lookup, if that client has the A girl that hangs out in some of our houses, like our Echoes and stuff, I might say, hey, ask your Echo or whatever, and you tell us that information when Curiosity Corner rolls around. But for the most part, I look that kind of stuff up. Any questions so far?
And no. Then I got something to say. You know, I think the government recognizes like AARP and all that. And to join AARP, you have to be 50 years old.
Really? See, I don't know like the ins and outs of all of it. There's been times where James Michaels, our VP of programs, is like, oh yeah, we'll just figure out a way. And we'll do it for a little bit. I can accept people under 50 or whatever. And then I check in like every couple of months, and it might be, I ask, you know, my direct boss, and she'll say, oh no, if we have anybody under 55, then they can say that we're in, like inaccurately using the funds or whatever, because it's written in there. So yeah. I would love to get 50 and older. Even better if I could do 45 and older. Yes, ma'am.
Danetta, this is Deanne. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, that is one of the problems that we have had since the homemaker program mm-hmm. was discontinued, is yeah. we do have a gap in services for those who are 24 to 65. Mm-hmm. In that, yes, independent living centers do offer some programming and that, but if we, as far as our older individual, the line program, which is also being ran out of our independent living centers, mm-hmm. we have the problem that we have that gap with younger mm-hmm. visually impaired population not receiving services.
Absolutely.
And I was just talking to James yesterday, and I know there is some, I don't know how they're doing it. He didn't go into that much detail, but they're trying to reach out to the low vision population. And if they continue to try to do that, that's great. But so many people are losing their sight between 24 and 65 that won't be eligible for those programs and services.
Yeah. Well, I know with VR, in order to come to our center, your end goal would have to be employment. You could possibly do college between point A of BOSMA and point B of, you know, working, but the end goal really is supposed to be working. Do some people flub and work their way around it? I'm sure they do. If they're doing that, I don't want to know about it though. You know, ignorance can be bliss sometimes. There are other things, but like Kurt Dykeman, who used to be our manager over the rehab center, is now launched his own business because he's no longer the manager there anymore. And he does like a 1 week like crash course type thing. I want to say it takes place all over Zoom, but with his program, you still have to go through VR. So I'm going to look like I can't, I don't think it's something I could like advertise like at BOSMA, but I think it might be, if it doesn't require going back to work, it might be something that could be a gap filler. But if they have to have that end goal of working, then the only difference is you're getting it all smushed into 1 week as opposed to 4 months of training. I wish that there was more things out there. Now, one of the reasons why connections I think is so important is because even though we're missing that gap, I think that a lot of people in the senior range who are blind or visually impaired, again, transportation's an issue. Whether you actually want to be able to get out of your house or not, you know, getting to a senior center and being able to participate and be active and stuff is not always easy. I know it's not easy even at my age, and I'm just under 40 years old, you know. Now, outside of here, I'm not a very social person, you know, so I am more of like what they consider like an extroverted introvert. But to allow the seniors to have a way not only to interact, but to keep your mind active. I've had a lot of people sign up who in the beginning say, well, I'm not really good at trivia questions. I'm not very smart, or I don't really know how to do crosswords. So I may just sit there and listen. And within a few weeks, they're answering questions. I don't know, Rita or Dolly or Regina, or any of you guys, if you guys remember Julia. She used to do crosswords with us all the time, Dolly.
Yes.
And that's how she was when she signed up. Oh, I don't know any of that stuff. And then it got to where she was answering the questions. you know, and I have permission from her family to share this, but she had, I'll be honest, I can't remember if it was like dementia or Alzheimer's there towards the very end. She did get to where she had to move out of her home, but it was really good for her to keep that activity. You know, she might not be on every day, but she was also one that she didn't get out even on the weekends. So if she didn't really talk to anybody, she wouldn't socialize all weekend long. And then she'd be excited because come Monday, she could talk to all of us, you know. This is a program that you could do from home. If you are in a assisted living facility, a senior community, any of those things. I have one client who goes into the hospital probably 2 or 3 times a year. And as soon as they get into their room, they call. And they leave me a voicemail and they say, change my number in the system. I had to come into the hospital for a few days. And when she's able to, she comes on the activities. So we can make it work for anybody, really. So
I think it's great that Bosma calls us.
Yeah.
And we don't have to remember to call in. You know, and say, oh, shucks, I missed it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, I like that too, Dolly. I like that too. Yeah. Like, I don't have trouble so much navigating Zoom. I like Zoom. I've never figured out how to set Zoom up to do what Dialpad does, which used to be Uber Conference. Because what I do is, or what I've done is, I have the same activities that happen at the same time every week. So every Monday at 10 a.m., the clients can be on a call called Playing Card Bingo. And I'll explain more about what Playing Card Bingo is here in a minute. But so I would go into that system and I would set up that call and I would set the time, the start date, and the end, and the start time and the end time. And then I would add everybody who wants to participate in that call. And I set that call up, and that call will regenerate every Monday at about 9:57 a.m. And it will call those people every week. I have it set up where I'm in the system as well. So I don't have to remember, oh, it's 1 o'clock. I'm supposed to be doing trivia right now, or I'm supposed to be doing Jeopardy. No, the system will actually, and it actually sends me text messages too. So at about 10, we'll say about 9:50, I would get a text message saying that I've, you know, got this activity coming up. And then at about 9:57, it calls me and you answer it. And it says, you've been invited to a Bosma meeting, press 1 to join. And then it will bring you into the call with either me or another volunteer and everybody who has opted to participate in that call. If I'm on an activity, we'll say that I, for some odd reason, I'm on book club because I'm usually not. And I notice Dolly's not there. If I'm the one that usually facilitates that call and Dolly is there every other week without fail, I'm going to send her that call again. So I can go into the participants list and I could send that phone call out to her again, because it may be an instance where she didn't hear it ring. She didn't get to it fast enough. Maybe she couldn't dial back into the system, because we do have a local number and a toll-free number that you can dial to get into the calls as well. There's no passcode to enter in. It's just a single number that never changes. So I could resend that call to her. If she does not come on at that point, I can't interrupt the call. But if I have time that day, I'll be calling her to say, hey, why were you not on the call today? You know? So just the fact that it calls you is really, really nice. It does not say connections when it pops up on the caller ID, which I do not like. On my end, it says that it's Greenwood, Indiana, I think. But it's our phone number that pops up. It's just not labeled as Bosma Connections or something like that. And then we also have a toll-free number, which is really good. Like, if someone misses the call, they may not have long distance, and maybe they live in Southern Indiana. So then they have no way to call back into the activity. So it's really nice that we have a toll-free number as well.
Donetta, it's Regina. Uh-huh. One thing I like, because I use my cell, and when not only does it give you the text, it also gives you the number, which I think is good, because you know sometimes some people might forget what the number yeah. was.
I probably give out our phone number once or twice a week, which actually is not that bad. But when the phone number, used to, for those who don't currently participate, used to, we just use the toll-free number. Well, I got an email saying that we were using 400% plus of our allotted contracted hours on the system. And I'm like, how is that possible? I know we do a lot of calls, but well, come to find out, if there's five people on the call, the minutes that they count for the call is, say it's 60 minutes. They take that 60 minutes and they times it by five, because they're using 60 minutes per Rita's phone, per Dolly's phone, per my phone. So that's how we were hitting that high number. So they said, okay, we're either going to have to change your contracted whatever, or we're going to have to add a local phone number too, and that be the main phone number. And I was like, okay. As long as we can still keep the toll-free number, because not everybody has the long distance. So any questions or any other feedback?
I have a question.
Yes.
How can we, we're going to have a picnic this Saturday, and we all run into people. How can we simply direct people to you so they can join the program?
So if it's someone who has worked with BOSMA before, they can directly reach out to me at my phone number. I don't think it's on the flyer, but since it's not, I'm pretty sure it's not on the flyer. But if there's someone who has never dealt with BOSMA as a client of any sort, they would need to reach out to our intake specialist, which is Megan Martin. And I know her phone number is on that flyer. And when they call her, they would let her know that they are interested in the Connections program. If they cannot, and I always jokingly tell people this, if you call to talk to me and you cannot remember my name or the program that I do, just say you want to talk to the lady who does games, and they're going to connect you to me. It's like an ongoing joke. Because not only do I do the games, trivia, and all that during the week with Connections on Fridays with the rehab clients, if it is not a week that a client is graduating, then we do games the very last hour of the week of their school week. So if you say, I want to talk to the game girl, they're going to send you to me. But giving them the information from that flyer is probably going to be their best bet. Because by talking to Megan can also find out if there's anything else we offer that you're eligible for, which is not something I know how to do. So, and if they're not in the system, they have to go through her, because she has to set up all of their information and all of that. And then she would send me their contact information.
Well, talking to Megan Martin, is that a difficult process, or do you just take some information and it's like you're automatically accepted, or what?
So what happens is, if you call her and you get her voicemail, you would leave obviously your contact information. And when she comes back into the office, she listens to all of her voicemails, and she adds, as she gets a voicemail, she adds the name, contact information, and stuff onto her list. And she's constantly got 12 plus people on her list, but she goes through her list relatively quickly. And she'd give you a call back, and you can tell her what you're interested in. And then she, like, there's like demographic questions. Some of those questions don't have to be answered. I always encourage people to let us know, like, your visual impairments, and if you have any other impairments, because if you're eligible to work with an IRT, an itinerant rehabilitation teacher, it's always good for them to know that kind of stuff. And what an IRT does is they come to your home, and it's just a couple of visits. Some of those visits are over the phone, some of them are in person, and they can help get you some adaptive things. Like if you need, like, say, a blood pressure cuff that talks, or a talking glucometer, a talking scale, like a weight scale. Different, like if maybe you need a lamp, like a task lamp or something like that. And they can tell you about other programs, you know, like the talking book and Braille library, and just different resources that you might have in your area. But as far as talking to Megan, it probably takes 10 minutes maybe for her to take all your information. And then once she gets everything in the system, if you tell her you want to be part of Connections, then she'll shoot me an email that says, hey, you know, this person is interested in hearing more about Connections. Reach out to them as soon as you can. Now, we mentioned earlier how many hours I have that I can dedicate to Connections. I am not very fast with moving on my referral list. I am 100% transparent about that. I can get people signed up a lot faster if they email or text. I can tell you that much. Just because it's easier to talk through emails than it is sometimes on the phone, because I got people coming in and interrupting and things like that. Everything that we do at BOSMA is free, because we get, you know, funding and grant money and donations and all that kind of stuff. So, any other questions?
You're going to have a big to-do coming up soon too.
Yes, we were talking about that Connections get together earlier. Yeah. Now we do have a big to-do coming up this weekend just for BOSMA. It's dining in the dark. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. How much is a ticket?
Oh, I don't know this year. I'm not going this year, actually.
At least about $100.
Yeah. Yeah. So last I heard, it was $150 a person.
Oh my.
But I don't know, because I haven't, like, they're doing it differently this year. Usually they ask for ambassadors. And so I've been an ambassador the last couple of years, where I'm assigned a table and me and my husband go, we get dressed up, we go. And the table that I sit at, I talk to them about what I do at BOSMA. I answer their questions to the best of my abilities. And I tell them kind of how I do the day-to-day stuff, you know. They might say, well, how do you use a computer? You know, how do you eat when you can't see what's on your plate? Which kind of segues into how do you do that? Because the whole thing of dining in the dark is that they eventually put sleep shades on and they turn all the lights down. They're not completely off because of wait staff and stuff like that, but the room, I'm told, is very dark. And then people have sleep shades on and they see what it's like to eat a meal with no vision. And we talk through the whole meal, and afterwards it's always entertaining when they take those sleep shades off and the lights come on and they see what is on their plates or what is no longer on their plates because it's on the table, you know? So it just gives them an idea, but you try to coach them before they go to eat, on how to do those things and make it easier for themselves. And everybody, buys tokens, to where they can cash those in for chips to go into the casino, which there's no actual money changing hands in the casino. It's just plastic, like poker chips. And they make donations. There's usually an auction, and things like that, different games to play. They have one called the wine pool, where there's bags of wine, or there's wine bags, and then they have a bottle of wine down in it, and you just pick a random bag. So you could get a bottle of wine that's worth $50, or you could get a bottle of wine that's worth maybe $500. And they got other stuff too, but they have dancing. We usually have the same band play every year, but I can never remember their names. They're pretty good, but they do cover songs. And then next weekend, or next week on Friday, is when we have the Connections get together. So, yep. Now, Dolly and Rita, I know, are in like Bedford area. Where's everybody else at?
Regina is too.
No, I'm not. I'm in Indy.
No, I was going to say, was going to say, I was thinking, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you are in Indy now. I do forget that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be able to come because I'm going to be out of town. So, to the Boswick Connection this year.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
That's malarkey, Regina.
Well, honey, I'm sorry.
I think Joan is going to be there this time. And I think her daughter. And I think Nadja is supposed to come. And her daughter, Keisha. And obviously Kelly and Kathy. Nancy and Jim. We have a new gentleman. You might have actually gotten phone calls from him. His name is... it just slipped my mind. But he's supposed to be there too. But he hasn't had a chance to participate yet. So it's always fun. I'm always exhausted on Saturday. I had to send in the requests today for what clients... Because the rehab clients... are the ones that help me prep the food. They're the ones that cook the food. And then they come in and they help serve it. And the last couple times that they got to stay and play games and stuff, but this year we're not playing a game. So they're actually going to go to their own game hour and to their last class of the day. So, yep. I got to get busy on your guys' lays. I'm not done with them yet.
Oh.
Slow going. Okay. I was going to crochet all of your guys' lays this year.
Wow, that's an undertaking.
Well, I'm guesstimating probably like 25 is what I'm going to need. And I need to reach out to one of our other participants, whose husband volunteers with us, Nancy. And I think she was going to work on some too. So I need to get her final count. I had a soap sock. Order a soap bag, I guess you would call it, order that I had to get done this weekend, so I didn't get to work on any of them. So
this is Deanne. You had asked where some of us were from, and I know that there's a couple of I saw a couple people from Northern Indiana, as well as I'm from Muncie, Indiana.
See, Dan, I thought you were in Indy. Where did you live in Indy at one time?
Actually, I'm kind of in between. I am in Indy, but I live in Muncie.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Indianapolis at my father-in-law's, and I've been here for the last 2 years.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I've lived in Indy for 10 years, and when I go back to visit family, I still say, oh, I'm going home. And then when I leave, I say, oh, I'm going home because I'm coming back to Indy. So
I own a home in Muncie.
Okay. We've had quite a few clients coming from the Muncie area over this past like year or so. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now, what about you, Pat? Where are you from again?
7:37 p.m.
Indianapolis.
She gone?
Indianapolis.
I'm here. She's there. She's there. Indianapolis. I was going to tell you guys more about the bingo. So I wanted to be able to incorporate some new activities when COVID hit and we had like the lockdowns and stuff. And so I got online and I was like, every time we've had a Connections get together and we play bingo, it's usually pretty popular. And I may be younger, but I like bingo too. So I was like, I wonder how we could do bingo without breaking the bank, because like Braille bingo cards are expensive. I could make them, but that would be very time consuming for me. So I'm like, okay, what can we do? So I get online and I learn about other people who play bingo using a deck of playing cards. So your bingo caller, instead of having the balls with the numbers on them and the letters, would be using a deck of cards themselves. Fun little fact about our bingo hour is that it is facilitated by one of our participants named Rich. He is blind and he calls the bingo numbers for me every Monday at 10 o'clock. And what you do is you deal yourself 5 playing cards and those playing cards are face up. And then he will call the bingo numbers. He'll say 2 of diamonds. If you have a 2 of diamonds, you will flip that card over. So now you just need 4 more numbers. if you're all five of your numbers are called or your cards are called, then you say bingo. And then just like in regular bingo, you have to read those back to him so he can make sure that you indeed have a bingo. Now, Rich decided to stretch it a little bit further. And he says, now don't shuffle yet. Who has the best poker hand? So if you have three of a kind, you may have the highest poker hand, so you get a point. One, a bingo gets you a point. The best poker hand gets you a point. But then he'll say, now don't shuffle yet. Who has the last chance card? And he will take his draw pile and he'll flip it over. And whatever the bottom card is, he'll call that out. Queen of spades. The last chance card is a queen of spades. So you might have three people on the call that have that queen of spades and they all get a point. So there's three chances to get a point. You can only get a total of 2 points because you can't get a bingo and the last chance card point. And that's how they do it. That's the only activity that we have that actually keeps any kind of score. And I think he tells them at the end, maybe of the call, who has the most points and stuff. Trivia calls, we will ask a trivia question. Anybody can answer. Sometimes I'll give additional information about those answers. That's kind of how it went today with these new American trivia cards that I got. Sometimes they're multiple choice, things like that. The group is really big on American history questions, which is understandable, you know. And then crosswords. I do crosswords and Miss Debbie does crosswords. And the way I do it is I try to have crosswords that have a theme. And then I'll say, I might say five letters, or we'll say three letters. This next one is three letters, popular family pet. And we have a blank, A is an Alex, and a blank. So then people are going to start answering if they haven't already started answering. And they might say cat. And I'll be like, okay, so I'll type that in. And then it will tell me if we are right or wrong. Because being blind, I can't do a crossword puzzle that's on a piece of paper, right? So I have a volunteer who comes in on Wednesdays, and she types puzzles in to a program called Talking Puzzles that you can purchase through American Printing House. And so she types puzzles in there for me. She usually gets like two done a week, I think. And then those are the crossword puzzles that we do. And when she types in the clue, she'll tell me the clue, how many words, if she remembers, she'll tell me how many words, how many letters are in each of the words of the answer, and how many letters long the answer is, and what the answer is. Sometimes she forgets to put some of that, but that's how I'm able to do crosswords. Miss Debbie is low vision, so she does it visually. Then on Wednesdays, we have educational presentation, and that could run a gambit of things. Sometimes I do music request hour, where I share my screen, and we, through YouTube, I will take music requests, and we'll listen to music all hour, with me sprinkling in some of the music that I like. We've watched some movies, some TV shows that are just, descriptive audio. I take requests for different topics to talk about. This week, I'm going to share a little bit about a boat lift that was up in New York. I want to say they said it was like down in Manhattan that helped get a lot of people away from, the towers falling and stuff. So that's, I think, what we're going to talk about on Wednesday. Sometimes I, maybe have a guest speaker or something like that. We have Jeopardy on Wednesday evenings. So our calls are going to be either 10 a.m., 1 p.m., or 3 p.m., all of those Eastern Standard Time, because they got to fall, those calls have to fall within work hours. So, any questions? Anything else, Miss Rita?
Rita, are you there?
She might be muted. It's so
911. Mike Kingston was in the. I forgot which tower he was in, but that he was like,
it's disconcerting when I don't have this narrator on. So like my computer's not randomly talking to me. Like my computer usually does.
I was saying that Mike Kingston was like at the 50th floor of one of the towers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I read his book.
On 9/11.
Is that the gentleman who had the guide dog?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I met him 50 years ago. We were at a conference. And, nice. You know, if anybody was going to make it out alive, it would be he. I mean, he was a very determined individual.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
smart.
If you ever get a chance to read his book, it's good. I think it's called Thunderdog, I think it's called.
Yeah, something like that. I know it was read in book club one time. I have not read it myself. That'd be someone nice to be able to get on the call, though.
Yeah, it would.
I do reach out. Like, I did get John Furness. I don't know if any of you guys that are on Connections were on that particular call. He is from the Pacific Northwest. I can never remember if it's Oregon or Washington, but he's blind. He lost his vision after trying to commit suicide.
Oh, wow.
And I cannot remember how he was young, but he learned how to do woodworking. So he has a shop. And his business name is called The Blind Woodsman. His wife helps him out with stuff, and they collaborate on things. She's an artist as well and is disabled. And I had him on as a guest speaker one time. I came across him on Facebook one time when he posted a video. I want to say it was on how to make like homemade bread or something like that. It wasn't even anything to do with woodworking. And his wife is super sweet. I've talked to her through emails and stuff a lot. And what he does is he makes stuff on his lathe. She helps him by telling him what wood is, what colors and what kind of wood it is. And he uses a scratching system where he uses a little dowel thing and makes little markings on the end of like the 2x4s or whatever size the planks are and puts them in order. And a lot of his work is varying colors, like almost striped looking, but he does it all by feel and stuff like that. And I want to say he used to restock like once a month, but I think he might do it twice or maybe even three times a month, his online shop. He doesn't do any special orders. He just makes what he makes and that's what he sells. And I feel like we were really lucky to get him on there. Now, actually, I want to say the same week that he came on, him and Annie, and talked, he actually had an article about him ran in People Magazine. So,
does he do furniture or a little bit of everything?
He does a lot of like he has salad bowls, I think. He does these really neat sounding little like bowls that have a stand in the middle, where you could put your phone and it would amplify the sound. So like, say you're hard of hearing, this was my thought, uh-huh. You're hard of hearing and you are always putting your calls on speakerphone so you can hear better. Maybe you put uh-huh. your phone down in that thing. It's going to amplify it even more. Like I said, him and Annie collaborate. They've made like jewelry holders, little canisters, all kinds of stuff. I think they might even have some like necklaces that maybe Annie made with like clays and she paints and things uh-huh. like that. It really just, it changes.
Okay.
So really nice man though. And like I said, he does everything by touch. I listen to them on TikTok and they may do something like she'll say, I wonder if John has the light on in his shop today. You know, and she'll go knock on the door and it's like a woodshed and she walks out and the lights are out. I mean, because why does he need lights, you know? And one uh-huh. time she walked out there one time and knocked and she was like, hey, John, what are you doing? And he pops out of like this closet thing and he always wears safety goggles and things like that. And he had big googly eyes on his safety goggles, you know?
Oh, yes.
Everyday yeah. people with vision, that would block their vision, not him, you know, because it doesn't matter, you know. So it's always something. They're always entertaining. like he got in their vehicle one time in the front seat and like drove through the yard with his cane out the window. He was like, "I'll be back. I'm going to the store," you know.
Oh gosh.
And then it shows him like backing up real
people living the jokes that people always told.
Right. I have a shirt. I have a shirt that I want to get that says, "You don't want to follow in my footsteps. I run into walls." Oh, no. And I'm like, that is the greatest thing
That's
ever.
A perfect shirt.
Right? Like, with my cane, I tend to push my cane instead of doing the proper sweeping and all that kind of stuff. And I have to tell the clients, do as I say, not as I do, because I do that. And I want to say in like every group of clients that we have, because the groups kind of phase in and phase out as we get new clients and they graduate and stuff like that, we always have one person in the group that is almost infamous for running into walls or getting turned around, you know, no matter what. Like they know where they are, but they just have to get their bearings. But like we had a client one time, as she was walking out after her graduation, smacked right into the corner of a wall.
Ow.
Because she pushed her cane like I did. She had to have the toughest forehead of any person I've ever met in my life. Yep. She had to have had at least a new goose egg like every week. And I'm like, you just had to go out with a bang of glory, didn't you? And she was like, yep. But I think that would be like the perfect shirt. I want to convince my sisters to wear funny sayings on our shirts for Thanksgiving. And that's what I want mine to say. And my other sister, she loves deviled eggs. And we came across a sweater the other day that had a pumpkin that was like Pac-Man. And it was like eating, there was like a line up of deviled eggs. And I said, that would be Cammie's shirt, you know? And then I would need to find one for Pickles for my sister, Rachel, and find one for my older sister and stuff. But I was like, that's exactly what I would want my shirt to say.
We had a shirt down here and at our chapter, ACB chapter, and it said, "Walk by faith, not by sight."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a t-shirt
that I got at the one of the conventions. Oklahoma was selling them, and it says "Designated Driver."
Nice.
They have it in Braille too, you know. So it's.
If you can read this, you're standing too close.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Get your face away from my chest.
Yeah. Parties are fun things.
I used to have a
party coming.
They have a what?
Oh.
Gabby Group has a party coming up in October, don't you guys?
Is that the spaghetti dinner or the chili dinner?
Oh, the chili supper. I guess it's
chili supper. Yeah.
Yeah. October 17th. Yep. With our Lions Club, one of our Lions Clubs down here.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Tuesday evening. Yeah.
Yeah, we won't make it. If it was on.
Yeah.
I know it's harder to do on the weekends, but even if it was on like a Friday where we could like maybe dip out of work a little early.
Yeah,
it'd be different, but
yeah. I tried to get it Saturday. It's just I checked with the church secretary too late because the Saturdays were booked up.
So, yeah,
yeah. We're trying to do this along with White Cane Safety Day, so it's just 2 days after White Cane Day. So that's about as good as I could get it, but.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to shoot for a Sunday afternoon because I knew nobody would come on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. But, it's understandable. Mm-hmm. I completely get it. I've always thought that the connections get together would be easier for people to get to if it was on a Saturday. But on a Saturday, I have no other staff. Like we would have to.
Oh.
Finagle our work hours because we don't get any overtime or anything, you know.
That's true.
Shoot, if I could get away with just volunteering my time, I would do it, but we can't do that. So I get it. I completely get it. I also, I've always said that one of my goals is to have the activities on the weekends as well, you know, because there are people who, you know, Julia, the one I was talking about earlier, I don't know how many times she's got on a Monday and clearing her throat, and I haven't talked to anybody since you guys on Friday. And I'm like, ugh. I want to get weekend activities, but with doing that, I would definitely have to increase the number of volunteers.
Yeah.
So, oops. Because I wouldn't be able to do either of those, you know, any of those weekend calls or.
I hope Pat's okay there.
Me too.
That didn't sound good.
Heard something ding.
And then she hung up.
Oh, did she?
Well, she's not.
Yeah,
she did.
No, that ding was me.
Oh, was the ding was you? Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I had to take a pill and I hit a old thing that made a ding.
Oh, okay.
As long as you're okay, that's good.
Yeah. See, if you were on Clubhouse, I could put you on. I have a surround sound, so it would, the sounds would come from different ears, and then I'd know.
Do you all have any other questions for me about connections or anything like that? If anyone is interested in signing up, if you reach out to Bosma and ask for Megan Martin, and you let her know that you're interested in connections, she will let me know.
So I came in late.
Uh-huh.
Can I find the information? Is it like on a website? Like,
sent it out on the listserv, I think is what she told me. Yeah.
Okay.
So you gotta be 55 and older, live in the state of Indiana, blind or visually impaired, and the calls go Monday through Friday. So. Yeah.
Okay.
And when you talk to Megan, she might even find out other resources that you're eligible for. You might be eligible for one of our itinerant teachers to come, you know, and help you get like some adaptive equipment, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have many that have macular degeneration and connecting with your group?
I used, honestly, Deanna, I used to know that answer, but the clients have changed so much over the years. I don't know. They're all just people to me now at this point. I know I've had people with macular degeneration, but do I have anybody active on the calls right now? I don't know. When I get a little uptick of participants, then occasionally I will do, like on a Friday or a Wednesday, I'll do, instead of doing like the activity on Wednesday, it might be more like a get to know everybody type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'll go through the people and I'll say, okay, everybody, you're going to say your name, how long you've been a member of Connections, and you know, your favorite dessert. Or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so everybody has a brief little introduction. Sometimes I might say, you know, share what your visual impairment is. I have to be specific, because if I say, and share where you're from, I'm going to get, well, I was born here. I was raised here. And now I live here, you know? So, and a lot of times, you know, most of the time for the calls, I'll say, I don't get on until right at the start of the call. Like if that activity is set to start at 1 o'clock, odds are I'm not going to get there until pretty much on the 1 o'clock dot, because I'm also working with clients and things like that outside of my office. So sometimes it takes me a minute to, you know, get on. So that leaves time for participants to talk. When you sign up, I'll send like out a welcome packet, and anybody who's interested in sharing their information can be added to our contact list. And I try to send that out twice a year, but that doesn't always happen. I'm hoping to send out an updated list in this next month, where you can have your name, your phone number, address, email, whatever you want to share. And say it's your birthday, and you're on that list, Dolly could call you and say, oh, Deanna, I heard it was your birthday, you know, or Rich, one of my volunteers, and he's also one of my OG participants. If you're on the call on the day of your birthday, he's going to tell you happy birthday. You may even get lucky enough to have the whole Connections group sing to you, because I had that happen recently, and as silly as it was the greatest rendition non-harmony rendition of Happy Birthday I've ever heard. You know, so I absolutely loved it. You know, but and then sometimes you might get a card for an anniversary or your birthday, or if we find out that you're under the weather, someone might send you a gift, well, get well card, you know, if that information is in our contact list. And I try to send it out in accessible format. So if you're someone who knows Braille, I send it to you in Braille grade 2. I can do it in grade 1 if needed. If you can read print, I can send it in the mail that way. If you prefer digital format, I can send it to you as a link in an email, things like that. But I have to have a signed permission form filled out to add your information in there. So
well earlier we were talking about, you know, there being a gap in years that you're able to serve, but you know, the population of people that are 55 and older is growing, and the particular generation tends to be one of the biggest populations of that group besides diabetes. I was just curious if you had broken that out. I know there used to be a support group for macular degeneration that was fairly active here in the northern Indianapolis, Hamilton County area, and that. And it seems like that those numbers have went down, or they don't seem to be as active.
I feel like the support groups in general have went down. I know that there is one in Hendricks County, because I just presented to them last month, I think it was. But I'm trying to think. I feel like we had a couple people who had macular. I know we have some people who have vision loss from raising birds. Like, I know we have at least two or three people who is something to do with like the bird's environment. So like if you raise chickens, or in one case they raised, I want to say Nancy, they had pigeons maybe.
Histoplasmosis.
Yes.
Yep. That's it.
She just, yeah. I know we got a couple of people and I don't struggle to remember that so much, not necessarily the name, but just the condition itself, because I didn't even know that was a thing. And we were talking, I want to say it was a get to know you call. And we went around talking about our vision losses. And I want to, like I had never heard of that, which is crazy considering I grew up in such a small area. And I didn't know anybody other than one great aunt who was visually impaired to where they were considered, you know, like low vision. And that wasn't until after college. So, you know, so like, I definitely had like a stereotype of what a blind person was up to that point. So,
I see that the time says it's 8:01, and I don't know whether you have a time commitment, but thank you for sharing tonight.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Can you hear us, Dolly?
Okay, I didn't know if you'd hear me or not. Yeah, you know, it's just like I got to get on another call here, and it's a support group for people who've had cancer, and we're all blind and visually impaired.
So
that one starts here. Well, at 8:00, so I've got a call on Zoom. You know, for that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
and it's every other week, and then there's CCLVI, you know, the people with low vision or with macular degeneration too, that they have a time.
I used to have a support group list. If I could find that, I can't promise that it's been, if I can find if anybody's updated it, because I spent about 2 months or so updating it, probably about 8 years ago. If I can find an even more better updated list of that, I will send that over to you guys to share, because it encompasses all of Indiana, I think. So.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
Okay. Thank you for having me join you guys.
Thank you, Donetta.
You're welcome. Bye,
hey,
guys.
Donetta, are you going to be able to come to the picnic Saturday?
Or
you
I am not. Else? I am not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Sadly, I am not.
So, okay.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.